Welcome to Studio Tulsa. I'm Rich Fisher. My guest today is University of Tulsa theater professor Michelle Miller Dill, whose summer project has been writing an original play with music set in the throes of the Oklahoma Dust Bowl. Her Echo Theater Company presents The Lowdown Dusty Blues this Friday and Saturday at the Norman Theater of the Tulsa Performing Arts Center as a part of the Summer Stage Festival. The Lowdown Dusty Blues features Dill's script with original blues music by Chris Jett, who portrays the lead character Tucker Turner. The play follows this character in a series of scenes on the character's birthday over time, April 13th. Well, that date also coincides with the worst storm in the Dust Bowl, Black Sunday, which was April 14th, 1935. In addition to their Tulsa performances this weekend, the company will take the show to the Edinburgh Fringe Festival in August, also some performances in Ireland. The Echo Theater Company has previously produced The War to End All Wars, From the Trenches to the Homeland, a theatrical historic theater piece surrounding the 100th anniversary of World War I, and the Vaudeville Museum, both co-productions with the Oklahoma Center for the Humanities. Michelle Miller Dill is my guest today to talk about her new original piece. Michelle Miller Dill, welcome back to Studio Tulsa. Thanks very much for joining us.
Thanks, Rich. Happy to be here.
Well, you've been busy. In addition to all your University of Tulsa duties, you've been writing over the last year, I would imagine. Tell us how this piece, The Lowdown Dusty Blues, came about.
Well, actually, I've been wanting to do a Dust Bowl piece, and this was originally meant to be something we could take into the schools, just more, not quite Chautauqua, but more historic. And then Chris Jett, he's a student here at TU, and he writes wonderful music. He did some music for our World War I show, for Echo Theater Company, the World War I show. And he let me listen to some more of his music, and there was a particular song called Home, and I listened to it, and I thought, this would be great in the Dust Bowl, because so many Oklahomans left Oklahoma. So many people were uprooted from their home, their notion of what home was, even the ones who stayed, their notion of what home was changed, because they thought it was Armageddon. They thought it was the end of the world. And so I listened to that song, and suddenly this idea for this show that could be taken into the schools, but it's not Chautauqua historical. It's a play. It's a play with music. And hopefully not too Disney at all, you know?
Well, it's pretty tough when you're talking about the Dust Bowl as a subject to make it Disney.
That's right.
Well, what was this song written about? Was it written about contemporary times, but there was something about it that made you think about the Dust Bowl, or what exactly?
Well, honestly, without calling Chris out too much, I believe the song originally was written about a young lady who has since gone on her way from his life. But I listened to it and I thought, well, you know, with a few minor tweaks, you could be talking about your mother. You could be talking about, you are my home, I rest in you. That's the basis of the song. And I thought, is home a place? Is home a person? Is it a family? Is it a concept? When I think of home, I don't think of my house. Sometimes I don't think of my house over in Owen Park, even though that is my home and my family's there. I think of the little house I grew up in Corning, Arkansas, all the way over on the other side of the state, that has been long sold, and I'll never go home again. You know, you can't go home again, they say, but that's my version of home. And so what was this family's version of home? Chris Jett actually is the lead character in the show. He plays Tucker Turner, and it starts when he's 9 years old and his father dies because of a dust storm. I'm not giving any spoilers away. I mean, you have to sit through the first scene in the show to find that out, but you find it out pretty quickly. And then the fact that this family is so thrown off balance, they can't find home again. What is home? Was Dad home? Was Mom home? Was Grandpa home? It's a three-person show. Has John Orselock's playing Grandpa Clarence. Laura Scotch is playing Winnie, the mother. And then Chris is playing Tucker, or
is
Tuck.
Is he playing it from a nine-year-old to adulthood?
It goes back and forth because it's the same day every year, but the years change. So we start in 1928, and Tucker is 9 years old. And then it flashes forward, and he's 25, and he's playing in a bar. He's playing the blues in a bar. And so it's a play with music. It's not a musical. But the scenes in the farmhouse with the family, that's really Winnie or Grandpa, them trying to make sense of what happened without T.W., the integral part of the family, the father. the scenes in the bar where Tucker's playing the blues and drinking and talking to the audience, those scenes are Tucker's scenes. That's him trying to make sense of what happened to him growing up. When you're 9 and people around you aren't equipped to help you through this, and especially in that time period, he didn't have any tools to help him through this. You know, nowadays he'd probably be in counseling, about 10 after school programs. He'd have a teacher and a pastor involved, you know, the whole nine yards. And back in that time, that didn't happen.
It was the people were tough or the times were tough and you didn't make it, basically. So what sort of research did you do about the Dust Bowl to write this piece? Did you have to go back and sort of read accounts of people living through the Dust Bowl?
Well, I started with Woody Guthrie because why not? We're right here. And ironically, this just tells you I was kind of single-minded. I didn't realize the thing is set in Okemo, Oklahoma. I didn't realize until after I'd done all this research on it and said, oh, it's going to be in Okemo. That's Woody Guthrie's birthplace. And I thought, Michelle, that was probably on the first page of the Woody Guthrie biography, you know. But it was kind of funny. It was all happenstance and meant to be. But I started with Woody Guthrie Dust Bowl Blues, and that's what brought the blues music into it. And then I read lots of first-person diary accounts of the Dust Bowl. And the one that stuck out was the diary of this gentleman. He wrote it from the time he was 9, so that's why we're starting with Tucker. And we're not stealing from his diary, but it was the time he was 9 years old, and his mother had to leave and get work in Tulsa. They lived way out on the prairie, and so he lived with his grandfather. And so his mom left home. He only saw her once a month, and the one time he missed her, he was absolutely devastated. And so that love for the mother coming through in the 1930s and the Dust Bowl and the accounts of other people who, the one that just broke my heart, this couple, they lived in Kansas, and they wanted to sell their farm and move to California. They had lost one child to Dust Bowl pneumonia. And so the dad went into town to try to sell the farm, and they said, you're crazy. And he goes, I'll take $50 for all this land. They said, we're not even going to give you anything. So he came back home and he said, I couldn't sell it. And she said, it's okay. We've got $20. We'll make it to Colorado or something with gas. And she went into the other room to get the baby. And she came back out crying. And she said, there's no point in leaving. The baby's dead. Mm. They lost the other child to Dust Bowl pneumonia. And these stories, I read them over and over and over again, that the ones who left because of tragedy, and the ones who stayed lived through tragedy. It was a horrible time with the Depression and the Dust Bowl. They didn't even call it the Dust Bowl. You know, it was also called the Dirty 30s. Mm-hmm. My all-time favorite story, though, that's not depressing, was that same little boy who was 9, he lived with his grandfather, and his grandfather was a functional alcoholic. But every Saturday night, his grandpa would get liquored up on vanilla because that's what they could afford. And he would call Central Exchange, the operator, and he would play the banjo for the operator for about 2 hours over the phone. And so the little boy would be in the other room listening to all this going on. And I just can't imagine, no offense to anybody who enjoys banjo music, but we did include a banjo in the show, a bad banjo. And I'm discovering I can't really tell the difference between bad banjo and good banjo, though I know there is good banjo. So there is some light.
So obviously these diaries sort of help inform the shape and direction of your show. It sounds like you read these diaries and sort of, how do you craft a sort of straight through narrative from a variety of stories?
Well, all of those just informed me. I mean, I could research the facts and, you know, the dust storm started before 1930, though we think of the Dust Bowl as 1930 to 36, 37, somewhere in there, with the big one in 1935. That was when they thought the world was coming to an end. And the other thing that I found out was, I should have known this, but the dust was red because of the red clay in Texas and in Oklahoma, and they thought it was hell on earth, that the world was burning, that this was the end times. But so you take the facts, and then you take these personal accounts, and then I take the music that Chris has and sort of making a cake, you know, baking a big cake with it. You let it bake and let it sit. And then all of a sudden these characters were revealed. It's like, this has to be three people. This is mom, grandpa, and a little boy. And how do they interact? How do they make sense of what has happened to them? And then you just start writing. And, we just did Sondheim on Sondheim. That was the musical that TU did this year. And I got the best piece of writing advice from Sondheim himself, because there were interviews with him in this particular show. And what he said was, he hates writing. He hates putting that down on paper. But go ahead and write the worst stuff. Go ahead and let yourself be bad and write it down. He said, because in the editing, that's where you find joy.
Did you find that to be the same for you?
Absolutely. I just let myself, I said, if Sondheim can do it, who am I to argue with that? And so I just said, I don't care if it's good or bad. I'm just going to write it. I found the right structure, the episodic. We're on the 9th birthday. We're in a bar. We're on the 12th birthday, a bar, 15, 16, so on. And then I wrote it, and then we did a whole week of table reads and improv, and the cast would say, we get no sense that these people love each other. And I said, well, let's improv a scene. And then it would make it into the script. Things, as they said, would make it into the script. And I think one improv was, the first time Tucker sneaks in, he's been out all night, and he thinks nobody knows, and he tries to sneak in, and Grandpa's waiting up for him, because Grandpa's not going to lay into him like Mom would. And so Grandpa's like, sit down, have a cigar, have a drink. If you're going to act like a man, be a man, you know. And some of that made it into it. So this, while I did write it, the cast is what's brought life to this piece, really.
Yeah. And it sounds like, so you, at least if not extensively, workshopped this. You've been workshopping this over the course of a few months, I guess.
Oh, yes. Oh, uh-huh. Yes. And would like to workshop it some more. And while I don't think that Summer Stage is not a workshop, we have a fully formed show. We're going to have talkbacks Friday night and Saturday night after the show. Very much want to hear what the audience has to say. And I'm sure that the show we take to Edinburgh is going to be different than the show that we present here.
No, that's the second part, is you were accepted for the Edinburgh Fringe Festival. You're taking
the show
over to Scotland later in August.
That's right. We leave.
How did that go? Yeah. Has that been a dream of yours?
I don't know when I didn't know about the Edinburgh Fringe Festival, and it was always sort of this pie in the sky kind of thing. But I've had friends who've taken shows, and friends, I've acted extensively in Ireland, and so they just hop across the pond for a 60 euro Ryanair ticket, you know, so it's nothing for them to go to the Fringe. For us, it takes a lot more to go to the Fringe, but I thought, why not take something positive from Tulsa, Oklahoma, especially in light of some of the negative publicity that Oklahoma's gotten. Oklahoma's a wonderful place to live. Oklahoma is rich in history and rich in diversity. So why not take that, the Oklahoma that I know and the Oklahoma that I love, and take that across the pond and say, this is what we do. This is who we are.
So what's the process of getting into the Fringe Festival?
You go online and you fill out the application, and it's a pretty extensive application. And then they get back with you and say, either we need more information, or yes, you've been accepted, or no, thank you. And we fortunately were accepted.
Was it the Dust Bowl concept at this point when you applied?
Yes, it uh-huh. was. And
it was actually a show. Not just say, we're a company and we want to come over and do a show.
No, you have to have something to present to them. Mm-hmm. The big thing, and the whole reason that the name of it is the Lowdown Dusty Blues, is I didn't have a title for it yet. And I'm like, Lowdown Dusty Blues. All right. That's got a little bit of everything in it. And then once you're accepted, that's actually where the real work starts, because you have to find a venue. You have to know where that venue is. You have to figure out your set, because we can't load our set onto a plane.
No.
And it's festival. We have an hour and 10 minutes to present this show, and we have 15 minutes to set up and 15 minutes to tear down.
Wow. And yep. So where's your venue? It's a place called The Vault?
It's called The Vault, Paradise Green, and it's an old church that has been converted into a performance space, and it's sort of like a shotgun space, you know, just like straight back, mm-hmm. and I believe we're in the church basement, the old church basement. But remember, this isn't like going down to a church here in Tulsa. I go to St. Paul's United Methodist. It's not like going down to the Fellowship Hall. This is a medieval church. This is an old, old stone church that's been there for a very, very, very long time. So I'm looking forward to it. I think it's going to add atmosphere to it a lot.
Now, you have to go over there. You have to obviously come up with a set that you can easily move into place.
Mm-hmm.
But it sounds like the vault is going to be holding multiple performances each day.
Yes.
So you're in, you're out, you're back in, and you're out for part of a week.
That's right. We're there for, I believe, three performances and tech. And the short answer to that is we have a white sheet and we have a short throw projector. And that's what's going to travel with us, and that's probably what's going to represent our set while we're there, because that's going to be the easiest thing to go up and down.
My guest today is Michelle Miller-Dill, who is the playwright of The Lowdown Dusty Blues. It's her original piece with original music by Chris Jett, who's also in the piece. It's a play with original music. It takes place this Friday and Saturday at the Norman Theater of the Tulsa Performing Arts Center, part of her Echo Theater Company, and she's our guest today on Studio Tulsa. We said it started with this original song that Chris had written, not for about the Dust Bowl.
Right.
Once you had him on board, did you have him write sort of music more appropriate for this theme, for the theme of the show, or did he just sort of take things that he was already singing and things he'd already written and you sort of adapted them?
Everything is original. And in fact, Home, which was the original song that sparked everything, is going to change slightly. He's changing some of the chord structure to make mm-hmm. it fit just a little bit more. But everything else is a straight-up blues song. It's either, and this is hill country blues. I mean, he was really specific about what he likes. And so R.L. Burnside and some of the old-time blues players that do hill country blues as opposed to Delta blues.
Okay, so this is West Texas.
Yes, this uh-huh. has a bit more of a, I don't want to say twang, but that sensibility. It still is repetitive. It still has the same chord structure. But he has two guitars. One is regular tuned mm-hmm. the regular way, and the other one is tuned for slide. And so we're going to have a little slide guitar as well in the blues. But each song is very specific to his character because it's his character figuring things out.
So now, did you work with him at all in writing the songs, or did you sort of give him prompts and let him go off and write?
He just took the prompts and went. And then he would come in and go, is this what you're thinking? And we'd talk about it, but I've pretty much kept my hands off of that other than intros into the song and exits out of the song to make it fit into the bigger picture. The one thing we sat down and did was we realized as we were sort of making a flowchart for these five songs, they follow the five stages of grief. I wish we could say that we had always originally intended that to happen, but it actually just was happenstance. And we said, let's play that.
So we have some bargaining, and we have some anger and depression.
Yes, you do. Yes, absolutely.
Denial.
It absolutely does, and it just fits so well and made such sense with Tucker that we decided to kind of lay into that. But no, the songs are wholly Chris, and it's funny because we're both looking at each other, and he's like, I hope people, you know, I'm sure they'll like the play, and I hope they don't get bored with the songs. And I'm like, Chris, I'm sitting here going, I know they'll like the songs. I hope they don't get bored with the play because the songs are really good.
Well, why don't we hear The Home right now? Why don't we put that in right now? Here's Chris Jett singing A Home, that original song that inspired Michelle to write about the Dust Bowl.
Oh, Lord, my home is wherever you are.
By Chris Jett, who will be contributing original music for the Lowdown Dusty Blues. Echo Theater Company presents that this Friday and Saturday at the Norman Theater, the Tulsa Performing Arts Center. My guest today is playwright Michelle Miller Dill, who's written this three-person play about a young boy who loses his father and making sense of that in the Dust Bowl in Oklahoma in the 1930s. You mentioned earlier, said, you know, we worked on the intros and outros of the song, mm-hmm. and I assume that has something to do with making sure that it's not like a musical theater performance.
Right.
So what did you do to sort of ease into the music, I guess ease back out of the music, back into the drama?
The songs that take place in the juke joints, bars, clubs, what have you, those completely break the fourth wall. The audience becomes the bar patrons. And this is set up in the Norman, and we actually have the cabaret seating, so there will be people at tables, hopefully, you know, drinking to their own conscience, but hopefully drinking. And so Chris has a whole separate area. It's just a stool and his guitar stands, and he'll be playing the blues from there. But it's working with his character, because it's a lot of improv. I can give him a prompt and say, this is how old you are here. This is where you just came from. This is, you're playing in Kansas City here. You're in Memphis here. You're in New Orleans here. And had to research what clubs were around at that point in time to make sure that I had the right ones to be accurate. But from there on, he has to talk to the audience, and he has to be aware of what they're giving him. And it also is a different point in his journey. You know, when we first meet him, he's just figuring things out. But he's young, but a pretty good person still. By the last scene, alcoholism has taken its toll. He's self-medicated. He's falling apart. He's a mess. So, and no spoiler alert there. I mean, why write a play if it's all going to be, oh, guess what? He gets married and has babies. y'all can see that anywhere.
No happy ending for this. No. Well, you mentioned improv. How much improv is there as a part of the show? Is it mainly where he's in a bar that's improvised?
And that is just like any regular player who's playing in a bar. You have to know your crowd, and you have to craft what you're doing to match your crowd in order to get them behind your music. By the end, he doesn't care about the crowd. He's so caught up in himself. But at the beginning, he very much is, I hope you like what I'm going to play. And it's always on his birthday. And to find ways to say, I'm 25 today, without walking in and going, hi, everybody, it's my birthday, which is just stupid.
Well, why set it on a single day? What was the decision behind that?
Because we were going to jump around a lot in time period and age for Tucker, the one way to do that was on the most horrible day of his life, which was the day his dad died, which also happened to be his birthday. So this family doesn't act this way all the time. It's just, this is that pressure cooker, because you're supposed to celebrate birthdays. You're supposed to be happy on your birthday, but it's the day that your husband, your son, your father died. And so everything is heightened. Things that would not normally irritate you. We see all the fights. It's just like you go to a wedding or a funeral, and that's when your family shows out. It's like they're perfectly lovely people, except on those days where the stakes are really high, and then everybody just loses their minds. Well, it's the same thing with this family. Every year on Tucker's birthday, everybody loses their mind.
Now, you said this actually begins at the beginning of the dust storms in the late 20s, mm-hmm. when the father dies. And it moves well past, I assume, back into the 40s, right?
Yes.
But I guess a key point is the summer of 35.
April 14th.
And that was the huge dust storm that came in that day that just was, they refer to it as Black.
It's got Black Sunday.
Black Sunday, mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
And so that plays a role in the play?
It does. And in fact, the transitions between each scene where Tucker goes from 9 to 25 or, you know, whatever, a dust storm happens, because every time the family starts to fall apart and they fight and somebody's falling apart, there's a dust storm. It's a metaphor. When he finally, they have the big, without giving it away, they have the big climax, the be-all and end-all fight. His birthday's April 13th. They have the big be-all and end-all fight, and then it's April 14th and the big dust storm happens.
Hmm.
So,
Now, you've talked a little bit about Chris Jett and what he's adding to the mix. You have Laura Scotch, who's portraying the mother, and John Orsalak. What do they bring to this particular cast?
Well, John, Grandpa is really the heart and soul of the piece. He's a functioning alcoholic, and that's why he can't save the family. He can't save himself, so he can't save the family. But he really is the glue that keeps these people together. It was his son who passed, and so he was very much affected by that. His wife has long since died. It's just him, but he loves these people fiercely, and you can see that. And John brings such humanity to that and such good nature and goodwill that even when Grandpa's being a fool because he's drunk, you still love him. You absolutely still love him, and that's John.
No. How much is that character informed by that account that you read of the boy referring to his grandfather or father who was calling the operator and playing the banjo? Was it really informed by that?
It really was. Grandpa originally started off as kind of a Bible thumping, judgmental, hated Winnie, and then it morphed, and because John was cast in this role, it morphed into this heart and soul of the family.
Laura Scotch,
she is one of the most amazing actors I've ever worked with. Originally, I'm going to confess, true confession time, I wanted to play the mother, and then I looked at it and I thought, okay, I'm writing it and I'm directing it, and I would play it? No. That's just wrong. And by this point in it, there's no way that I could do what Laura's doing. She has brought such truth and passion, and when she falls apart on stage, you fall apart with her, but you can tell she loves Tucker fiercely and that she is a strong woman who's just a hair's breadth from completely coming apart at the seams.
Now, you will have talkbacks after each performance.
Yes.
And I assume you're going to be watching the audience during this.
I'm actually going to be up in the booth running the lights, which I'm really glad about, because I would be nervous as a long-tailed cat in a room full of rockers if I sat there and had to watch the audience and go, what do they think?
Well, I think what you also want out of it is to figure out what needs to be fixed for the next production,
yes,
too.
Yes. And we're very fortunate that we have a grand champion on our side, and that's Pat Hobbs, and he is producing this doing a wonderful job of producing this. And so he's going to start those talkbacks while I make my way down from the booth so I can be down there. But I'm sure Pat's going to be watching the audience and probably texting me going, they love it, or, oh, girl, you better rewrite this thing.
Well, we wish you great success with the engagement this weekend at Summer Stage and at Edinburgh later this summer.
Thank you.
Michelle, thanks very much for joining us.
Thank you.
Playwright Michelle Miller-Dill speaking with us about her new play, The Lowdown Dusty Blues, a play with original music. Performances are scheduled for this Friday and Saturday at the Norman Theater of the Tulsa Performing Arts Center as a part of the Summer Stage series. For ticket information, visit myticketoffice.com or call 918-596-7109. Well, that's Studio Tulsa for today. Our program is produced by Scott Gregory. The views of our guests and commentators are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of KWGS or its licensee, the University of Tulsa. I'm Rich Fisher. Thanks for listening.